Morris, good morning.
Good morning.
Morris, a little bit of controversy the other day over Twitter being used on Play School. What did you make of all that?
It was an interesting story. What they were doing was one of the segment producers had decided that they would instruct young children in how to use social media, and in particular Twitter, and then set about giving them the usual Play School type instruction of what these things were. Look, I found it most interesting. Firstly, I think it was almost the wrong way around. Maybe the two-year-old that was watching it needed to give the segment guy the information of how to use Twitter and social media, because to them they certainly don't need insight into it. It's just ordinary. Why would they even bother?
Do you think two-year-olds are already picking up on this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, two-year-olds know social media, they know technology. What the other side of it that I find particularly interesting is that most two-year-olds, I mean, mine, of course, were geniuses, but everybody else that I'm not sure about, can't read or write at two. So what was it that they were going to tweet?
Good question, yeah. So what is the future of education, and how do you see it panning out?
Now, education is one of those really interesting topics because it affects everybody. I mean, we've all been educated, but it affects us in the way that society and country rolls itself out. For me, education is now going through a huge upheaval. It's going through a change the likes of which we haven't seen for a couple of hundred years, literally. And it's all prefaced on the fact that today's students have dramatically different needs to the ones that I had as a baby boomer. Not better or worse needs, just very different needs into what they need.
In what way are they different?
Well, they're going into a lifespan of most probably 120 years plus. In that time, they will have six different careers. They will also have at least 14 jobs throughout those six careers. When I grew up, it was a matter of getting one qualification, most probably one career, and if at all possible, one employer. And that was it for 40 years. That's not the way it is today. So if we're going to educate our children to be able to live in this world, then what do we need to do that's different? How can we arm them for jobs that we don't even know about yet, that have never been thought about? How can we teach them to do tasks that nobody's even begun to envision yet? If we're going to expect them to be able to do these things, we have to educate them in a way that we weren't educated. And really, that's the challenge of a really good system nowadays.
But also a bit of a scary challenge, isn't it? That change, not easy to bring about.
It absolutely isn't. Because with the best of intention, teachers, and I love them to death, could only champion the work they do, but with the best of intention, they're working a lot in the fog as well. They're doing the best effort they can with an understanding of what students will need, but really not sure themselves and aren't being resourced well enough, even if they could, into being able to provide what's necessary. Our students really do need to learn more than the 3 hours that I was brought up with, and they were perfect in our day, but they worked in a system where everything had to be remembered. If we go back to, again, 20 or 30 years, we were all learning maths timetables, we were learning how to spell and punctuate, and again, I think they're wonderful things. Please don't come out and tell me that we should still be doing it. I agree. But the reality is we need to be doing so much more than that, because our children won't have the necessity to remember their times table the same way we did, because they'll just use a piece of technology that will give them the end answer.
So what do we add to the 3 hours then?
So what we add are what I call the 3 C's, which are communication, collaboration and creative problem solving. We know that our students today, the workers of tomorrow, will be working in a global society. They will be working at different time zones with different people and different cultures. They'll be working in teams and tribes. They'll need to know how to communicate, not just verbally, but they'll need to know how to write properly, make sure that their messages are being heard and understood by people. Again, in a very succinct, different manner to what we did before. Collaboration plays into that too, because all the tasks, all the jobs that we're seeing into tomorrow require people to work collectively. There are very few solo jobs around anymore. Everybody seems to do a part of something that gets passed on to somebody else, gets passed on to somebody else. And the third part, the third C, that to me is the most important one, is the creative problem solving. Because at best into the future, what we'll be able to tell people is, these are the sorts of things, the sorts of issues that we have, these are the sorts of outcomes we require, but we can't really tell you how to go about it because things are changing so dramatically. So understand what it is we need, understand what it is that needs to be done, and then go away and be creative about the way you come up with a solution.
What about classrooms as we know it? Will they disappear?
Classrooms won't disappear, but they will certainly change in the way that we use them. There will always be a group of students that learn best in a physical environment, and they should go back into a traditional classroom setting, a traditional school. But that won't be the only way to learn into the future. We're going to have a lot of what are called virtual classrooms, which means that we'll be able to see some of the material online, engage with people online or in the digital space. There's a school in the States now that takes on the thought that if so many students are using YouTube and they're comfortable learning online in that way, why don't we put up all of our lecture materials online? So these are secondary students who get all of their classroom lectures in a YouTube format. Their homework is to go home and watch it. And then the next day they come back to school and actually work on that material. So school is all about being together, about being collaborative, about working through the problems. It's not about being given the fundamentals. You can do that in your own time, in your own space. We're going to see physical classrooms change too. A lot of the new architecture around schools that are being built in Australia have gone back a way really into a multi-function room, a larger room, where we might have a larger number of students, perhaps 30 or 40, but in that room we might have three or four teachers, each of them teaching in a different way to a different cohort of people. So what we're going to see very much is the rigidity around what used to be a classroom, one room, one teacher, 25, 30 students, now turn into a whole lot of possibilities around how it can be taught. And the decision will really be made by everybody in that room as to how they teach and learn the best.
My goodness, won't that be good?
Well, it's another way of going it. Again, good, better is up to us to decide, but it's certainly another way of approaching education.
Sure. This is ABC YBA. I'm speaking to Maurice Mislowski, business futurist. Maurice, what about, we would sort of say goodbye then to, the good old dusty old textbook?
Oh, I hope so. I really do, and I think we're not far away from them. The reason I do is because textbooks obviously served us well, but textbooks, if you think about it, are really historical documents. They were written at a point of time, and that was it. What I love to bring up to students nowadays is that when I grew up, the newest information was inside Encyclopedia Britannica's annual book or world book, and you got that annual one-off. Nowadays, students get information that's literally only a second old, that literally has happened now or is unfolding now. Textbooks are also now they are more immersive. They not only carry the written word, but there's also video in them. There's an opportunity for them to engage with other people in the room through the textbook or the virtual textbook. And we're talking here about using an iPad or a tablet that then has the textbook on it, that then has all of these other additional layers of interaction in it. So what we're going to see are textbooks that are obviously much lighter because our children carry too much. I mean, they're like 6-7 kilos by the time you have a kid's school bag, and that's too much for a little child to carry around. So we're going to see one tablet, most probably, that will have all of their textbooks in it. It'll have all the material they need. It will give them all the ability to interact with each other. And in that base place, they'll also do all of their exams and bits and pieces. So that'll become their main activity, and then after that, we'll provide all the external stimulus they need.
What about when it comes to medicine? How will the way medical students learn, how will that change in the future?
Yeah, so medical students, like a lot of others, are also changing the way that they approach their learning. There's a lot more communication. There's a lot more of the human interaction built into the study now than there was even 10 years ago. So that's a fundamental shift in the way they're approaching the students that they want of tomorrow and the way doctors and medical staff will engage with us. But they're also using a lot of virtualization, meaning that there was a time when they physically used to have to be able to operate on a human body, and often that was a cadaver, it was somebody that had passed on, or it was some sort of dummy or something that they'd made up. What we're finding increasingly now is that part of the learning is being able to use virtual people. So what they're doing are virtual operations. They're studying in much the same way as the pilots that we trust to fly our planes have been studying for the last 20 years, and they're learning on virtual bodies. And it's far more immersive, it's far more instructive, because they can actually get in, they can see what's happening inside the body, they can experiment, and of course cause no harm because there is no physical person in front of them.
Fascinating. Any other changes in the future of education you'd like to point out?
I think education as a whole really needs to be championed more by our society. It's obviously always been important, but if we are going to be the innovative country that we need to be and want to be, then it really does stem back from this education stand. And to me, it is one of the most important things that we can decide over the next little while of how we go about educating people. And of course, as I always say, it's important that we understand that we're listening to yesterday and speaking to tomorrow with our education. We can't just give them the same thing that we had, as perfect as it was for us. We've got to make sure it evolves and also suits what we expect of them into the future.
Fascinating look into the future. And of course, if our listeners want to know more about this, they can jump on your website, also your Facebook fan page. Just remind us how they can find those.
So they're both Business Futurists. If you want to go to the website, it's businessfuturist.com. And if you want to go to Facebook, where I put up lots and lots of these stories over the day and days, you go to Business Futurist. So just go back into Facebook and type in Business Futurist and join me there.
All right, we'll chat again in 2 weeks' time. Maurice Michalowski, thanks very much.
Look forward to it.